Blog Talk Radio.
Five, four, three, two, one.
The views and comments do not reflect the opinions of eWater Radio. All comments and views are show guest views and in no way reflect views or comments of eWater Radio or its affiliates.
And you are listening to Let Them Know, MMEO, on eWater Radio.
Broadcasting live.
Boom. Welcome to episode 12 of Let Them Know, MMEO. I am your host, Steven Solo. With me, my non-sexual partner for life, Ron Stone.
What's up, everybody? What's up? How you guys feeling?
How you doing?
All right. How you doing?
All right. So we got a very special episode for you guys today.
Yes, sir. Very, very special.
And before we get into that, though, well, let's do a little recap on, I guess, the events that we had.
Yes, sir. That's with CCSD, Clark County School District, and the City of Las Vegas. They're doing the Reinvent Schools. And we had the fall festivals come through. So we went to seven different schools, about one to two every week. And we had Metro over there, fire department, marshals, different organizations to help the community. And it was a very big success. A lot of people, one school, there was about almost 1,000 people. Can you believe that?
How do you do it? I don't understand. This guy is not only an entrepreneur, but he works a full-time job, and he's the head of MMEO, and Let Them Know, MMEO. I'm just the guy that edits for him. I work for Ron Stone.
No, don't believe that, folks. This is my right-hand man. Steve Solo has been here from the beginning, you know, blessing us with this podcast and blessing us with education, and we wouldn't be here. And Let Them Know MMEO wouldn't be here without him. So he's done a lot. Thank you, Steve Solo.
Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity, Ron Stonick. If you had to choose which school out of all of them was just a slam dunk home run, like what event, like which school and what event was it? Is it all equal?
Yeah, it's basically all equal. Yeah, because these are schools that no other person would think about doing anything. You know, we have schools from the west side to the north side to the east side. And then these are like...
Wait, can I ask you a question, though?
What's
that? Which side is the most roughest?
Ooh.
Probably the east, huh?
I don't know. But I can't say that because... I couldn't see the roughness. When I go in over there to the school and all the parents and all the kids are over there having fun, everybody's just getting along. And, you know, I'm glad that there's no gunshots, no kind of...
no violence.
Violence, yeah.
We're trying to building fellowship with everybody, you know?
Yes.
Not just in a Christian way, but in a community way.
Yeah, that's having wonderful. The community unite together, you know. All races are invited, all nationalities. That it's a beautiful thing to go out there and see that. And then especially the city helping out, you know, spending all this money. The last one that we did, they bought 100 pizzas.
The school did or the CCSD did?
The City of Las Vegas.
City of Las Vegas.
Bought 100 pizzas to give away to that event. It's crazy. And in some schools, they did cool things. Like, they had a fundraiser because a teacher had cancer. So everybody brought food. And they made a fundraiser. They sold tacos and burritos, nachos and stuff like that. For the teacher that has cancer, so, you know.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
On a personal note, man, you lost a lot of weight.
It's a Batu. Nah, sorry. Batu is my last name, that's all.
What's your secret? Are you on a strict diet right now, Ron?
I'm on a strict diet, you know.
No carbohydrates?
You know, eating right and the exercise and shoot, and you'll see goals getting done, and I don't know, man. I just love it. I love the adrenaline doing this stuff, doing this stuff with you too.
That's what's up. All right, folks, we have a special interview with this wonderful, wonderful lady. Before we get into that, do you have any future events that you wanna plug?
No, not right now. We're trying to work on that one that we spoke about in December with some clients or partners, but we're working things out right now. Hopefully that comes up. Yeah, but I know the May Day Spring Fling is coming up, so if anybody wants to perform or something like that, please prepare because it's only 5 months away.
All right. It's time for us to get into this interview, people. You're going to want to listen up. All right, we got special guest in the house. Her name is Drea. This girl is very close to me and very important in our lives in the Solo family's household. We were originally supposed to have Hawaiian Mike.
Hawaiian Mike or Kali'i.
Or Kali'i. So, Ed, I know if you're listening, that's the reason why we're kind of behind on the description right now. But Drea is so powerful in our lives, in my daughter's lives especially, because not only is she my daughter's mentor, but she is also my daughter's significant other. Say hi, Drea.
Hi, guys.
I don't want you to think that you're sitting in for somebody that we were supposed to interview. I always wanted to interview you on either this podcast or another podcast, but I just didn't know how to approach it. You know, I didn't want to make you feel awkward or anything.
No worries. I'm excited.
Tell me a little bit about yourself.
So, like you said, I'm Drea. I am 22. I moved to Vegas about a year ago. When I first moved here, I got a job at a different coffee shop, and then I started working at this place called Makers and Finders and met his wonderful daughter. So we started hanging out, and I could tell at first it was more of like a mentorship. She kind of looked up to me a lot. She would ask me a lot of questions about different things. I don't know if I was really in a place for a relationship either. And then and we had kind of had that conversation in the beginning, started talking, and then obviously things went to more, and now she's my life.
You know what's really cool, though, was because when I first met you, okay, this is the words, Ron Stone, for everybody who's listening. My daughter approached, she usually approaches me first with her love life, because kind of her mother is a little bit more, I wouldn't say closed-minded, but she holds on too tight. So my daughter said, you know, I have a mentor that I'd like you to meet one day. And then the way she said it, I knew that there was something there. You know, I knew there was something there. So what do you really, how did you mentor Trisha? Trisha's my daughter's name, by the way.
In my head, it was never really mentoring. I think my whole life I've kind of been given a lot of words that I didn't really know how to use, and so it kind of comes out in the friendships that I have or the relationships that I have. And so at first it was kind of her just, you know, we would go get dinner after work or go grab coffee or something, and she would just kind of ask me like, oh, well, like, how healthy do you think this friendship is? And she would kind of explain her friendships to me a little bit, and I'd be like, I don't know about this, or I don't know about that. And we'd talk about things like that, or a lot of things that would be brought up from her past that we would talk about, and I would kind of walk her through really feeling them, you know, because it's easy to ignore feelings being young. It's easy to walk away from them. But so I think it really got to the point that it wasn't really necessarily in my head me mentoring her, it was me just loving her, and that was kind of all it really had to be for me. So I never really took it, you know, to my heart as being like, oh, I'm going to go mentor Trisha. Like, it was just kind of like, oh, we're going to hang out, and she's going to ask me questions, and I'm going to give her genuine answers of how I would handle that in my life.
Okay. Well, folks, listen, this is also going to be a very powerful interview as well, because Drea had a difficult past in her life, and if this could help you, if you're the listener or a parent of a child who's had a difficult past, her voice might just be able to save your life.
Yeah, Steve Solo. That's why when I first met Drea also, and then I was like, wow, she's a cool female, young female that have problems. And then we deal with a lot of youth, right?
Yes.
You and I deal with a lot of youth. We meet a lot of youth from different schools, different parts of Vegas, different people from different states. And I was like, wow, she would be a cool person to have up on the show.
Right.
So, yeah.
If you don't mind me, okay, Drea has a blog. Do you want to, I know that it's inactive now. Do you plan on activating it?
Absolutely, yeah. This year I stepped back from almost all social media just because I needed to really take a step back and look at everything that I was telling other people and really take it upon myself, you know?
You know, based on what I gather, a lot of people look up to you. A lot of people, especially from what my daughter has said, that that your words, they strike like iron. So it's important that, you know, I think you should reactivate your blog. And I convinced her to start her own podcast because, of course, Ron Stone, I produce his podcast. I also produce two other podcasts. Well, the other one is up in the air. And I really feel that your voice should be heard. I'm going to ask you some difficult questions. And if you don't want to answer, you don't have to answer.
Yeah, totally.
Okay. What is the pain that you went through growing up?
I guess in my head, kind of going through everything growing up, I grew up in a pretty religious family. So my parents kind of explained it always as like we were going to hit battles. That's just because we could handle it, not because anything bad was ever upon our family or wished upon our family, but because we were supposed to handle it and we were supposed to use that pain to bring it out in other things. So, but being young, growing up, I grew up in a really dope family. Like we, my dad
from Reno, right?
Yeah, from Reno, from Reno. So, I was born in Reno. But my younger age, like from about being born until 13, I had the coolest life. My dad owned businesses. We traveled around the country. I was homeschooled to eighth grade. But kind of being in that dynamic, I think it causes you to find a lot of your worth in your family, which a lot of people wouldn't necessarily know because normally the issue is finding your worth when your family is not good. But growing up in a great family, that kind of became my worth. So my freshman year in high school, when I was 13, I started going to high school for the first time. Had never taken a step into a public school before because I'd always been homeschooled. So stepping out and kind of realizing how many worth issues I had, I would have never guessed that because my family always hyped that in me. They always made sure I knew my worth, but I guess stepping away from them made me really realize that I didn't have much worth for myself. So going into my freshman year was just a lot of bullying.
Got a lot of bullying?
Yeah, I got a lot of bullying. So just a lot of kids that
so
saw
horrible.
Someone insecure and, you know, took that upon themselves. Junior guys would push me down the hallway. There was a group of junior girls that would kind of... I guess one of them caught their boyfriend looking at me or something, and I guess that was my fault. So just, like, a lot of backlash from that. And then my cousin that went to the high school as well happened to be an attractive male, and a lot of girls thought that I was with him, not obviously knowing the story that I was related to him. And so that caused a lot of backlash for me, too, just opened up a lot of bullying. And I think that caused a lot of self-doubt and inner issues that I would have never known were even there or could have been there. So after that, I kind of spiraled. After my freshman year, I did really bad in school. By the time I got to my sophomore year, I had a 1.8 GPA, and my mom pulled me back out of school, and I was homeschooled. And at that point, my whole entire family had already gone to school, so I was at home by myself every single day until my baby brothers got off the bus, and then I would watch them. So I then literally would spend from about 8 in the morning, I'd get up and start my schoolwork on the computer, and I'd be home until about 2 by myself, and I didn't realize what that would really cause inside of me. So, go ahead.
I grew up in an era where bullying wasn't recognized yet, but I cannot fathom the idea of my kids getting bullied. It tears me apart to think like that. I remember my oldest daughter, I don't know if I told you the story, Ron Stone, but this really... you know, blew it up for me. But my daughter had just arrived from the Philippines. They just moved here, and she was in sixth grade. And I don't know what the incident was, but a boy from the back seat apparently hit her in the back of the head with a closed fist.
What?
So it caused this huge, huge thing for me where I wanted to go to the school because I didn't know how to handle it, you know, as a father. You know, you were bullied. I was bullied. We were all bullied in our generation. But Ron Stone, you could hold your own. You know what I mean? I know you to be the bully beater.
Oh man, but I did get bullied too because I didn't look good like this all my life, you know.
What are you trying to say?
But when I was little, yeah, I have a story too. I had buck teeth and I was chubby, so I was like, okay. And then people actually bullied me, teased me about my teeth until I got my braces and started eating good and started exercising.
Yeah, because you're intimidating now, people. And before I ask you the next question, I was bullied as well, but I was beat up in a bathroom by two brothers, and they broke my jaw. I had to have a feeding tube.
Man.
Two brothers, because it was the same thing. Apparently, the younger brother who was in my grade, I was in ninth grade, thought that I was dating his girlfriend. I don't know where he got that idea from. So they lured me into the bathroom, and the brother was hiding in one of the stalls. So as soon as we got in, I knew something was up because he was nice to me. He never was, and I didn't know why. And then he's like, hey, I need to talk to you. Come to the bathroom with me. So I ended up following him to the bathroom. And then he says, I hear you talking to my girl. And I'm like, no, she's a friend. And that's when I saw his big brother come out. And he held me really, really, you know, like the chicken wing style in wrestling, you know, when somebody's behind your back and you're in this position. And he just kept on pounding and pounding and pounding. And his brother threw my head into the urinal.
Ooh, that's how you broke your jaw.
That's how I broke my jaw.
Damn.
So my mother ended up pulling me out of that school. But I know kind of what it's like to get bullied.
Mm-hmm.
And how did that make you feel at the time? Were you getting stronger for it, or did it just tear you down? I mean, walk me through the whole process in your head. Because I know that this is what created this wonderful person we have today. Right.
I guess, like, I definitely wouldn't say in the time it was making me, I mean, internally it was obviously making me stronger, but I didn't feel like it was making me stronger. So I think that through that whole time, it just caused a lot of self-worth issues. When I was alone that whole entire sophomore year, like, I started self-harming, started suicidal thoughts, started realizing how bad my anxiety and depression really were that I had never even known was a thing. So I think it caused a lot of that just because I didn't know where else to find my worth besides within my family. And obviously that had to happen. It would have happened at any other point in my life because I didn't know where my worth was. If my worth wasn't in myself, it was going to be somewhere else. So it definitely, in the time, I didn't know if it was making me stronger or making me better. And obviously it did. But I think in that time, it took me a long time to really start realizing, like, oh, okay, these are things that everyone goes through. I think my thing was like, oh, it's just me. Oh, I'm the one that's messed up. I'm the one that's like this. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So I didn't really realize that this was something everybody was going through. And once I figured that out was when I was like, okay, well, like, I already went through this. I can't take the pain away. But if I can take it away from somebody else, then that's the goal. You know, like, I'm not going to waste what I already went through because I can't take it away. I can't take the pain I felt away, but I can't take it away from somebody else. I can talk them through it, and I can help them through it, you know.
That's pretty much what your blog is based around, is advising kids who are going through the issues of bullying.
Right.
What would be the first thing you would advise to a young boy or girl who's feeling not feeling worthy because they're bullied? What would you tell them?
Man, I think it's a long process, but I really think finding your worth within yourself. You can constantly find worth in things around you and in people around you, and they will constantly fail you. So until you start finding the worth in the things that you are and want to be, you're never going to find the worth in yourself. So no matter who bullies you or who talks to you or what good friends you have or how popular you are, at the end of the night when you lay in bed, if you don't feel good about yourself, you're never going to feel good. So it doesn't really matter if you're being bullied or not, because you're bullying yourself. So I would honestly say, like, really the thing that changed me was, like, genuinely how I talk to myself. If I'm not going to talk to myself nice, then how can I expect anyone else to talk to me nice? Like, I was my biggest bully, so at the end of the night, when I'd look in the mirror, I'd tell myself 10 things I loved about myself. I would tell myself all the good things about myself and who I wanted to be and who I was, and the facts, not just who I felt like who I was, but who I was told I was, like, by my mom and by people that loved me. So it doesn't have to be your mom if your mom doesn't love you, but people that genuinely love you. That's kind of where my self-worth came from, because it was like,
You use affirmations, you mean?
Affirmations, totally. Like, okay. I had to speak life into myself, because if I wasn't speaking it into myself, I'm only giving permission to all the people around me to speak death into myself, like I was speaking upon myself. So I think that was the biggest thing, was like really how I talked to myself. Like, talk to yourself nice. Like, you can find good things about yourself. If you look at other people and you find good things about them, you can find them about yourself. You just have to look at yourself different. Just like somebody will think you're the prettiest person and you'll look in the mirror and you won't. Mm-hmm. That's just because of how you see yourself and how someone else sees you. You can change how you see yourself. And I think that's the biggest thing that changed for me.
Wow. Do you have any... this next question is going to be a bomber.
Oh, no.
Do you have anything right now?
Everything's sounding good. Yeah.
So you are a daughter of God.
Mm-hmm.
You have the faith. You are a Christian, just like us. We are.
Yeah.
And you are dating my daughter.
Right.
How does this dynamic work in the faith?
Man, it was a hard thing for me growing up. I realized I liked girls my junior year in high school. Still going through a lot of that anxiety and depression, and so I think for me it was a lot of, like I said, finding my worth before realizing that this was something that didn't have to do with a worth issue, because that's the first thing Christians will tell you. It's like, oh, well, you're just struggling, or oh, well, you're just confused, or it's a phase. Exactly.
That's
so.
What we went to eat. It's so funny. I told my daughter this. My daughter entered her first, she's open about this, so it's a, I don't know, is she going to get mad if I say this?
I don't think so.
Okay. So anyways, is it okay if I say this, Ron? Can I say this? Okay. Yeah. I just want to say this, though. I'm not going to delve into it too deep, but I'm just going to say, that was the first thing that my wife told my daughter.
Right.
And we took it pretty bad because I was a baby Christian then. I'm still a baby Christian now, but I realized that Jesus didn't come. Jesus, the whole gospel is of love. It's a gospel. It's the most beautiful story of humankind, because Jesus came to earth. And this is not going to be preachy. This is not a Christian podcast. But I just want to say how I came to terms with this was, I gotta retrace back because I lost my train of thought. But Jesus came preaching love, and his first commandment was do not fear. Not his first commandment. I think the message that he was relaying a lot to his disciples was do not fear, love God with all your heart. And love thy neighbor, and acceptance. And it's not for us as Christians or parents to judge. Whatever it is that, you know, you're going through is between you and God. And I remember this was what broke my heart. My daughter came out and told me, and she asked me, am I going to hell? And I said, if this is what the religion is teaching you, then I think we need to reframe what our God is teaching us. And then in the future, we accepted it. And we've learned a lot of things. I've learned so much through my daughter, you know. Mm-hmm. I ended up becoming the student.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned a lot. And I learned that I'm very critical with how I communicate. And I think a lot of the things that I've told my daughter as she was growing up scarred her really bad. And it took me a long time to realize it. I'm a little bit of, you tell Ron Stoner I'm a very aggressive person.
Yes, you are.
So with my kids, I try to tone that down to from 100 to 0 now, not from 0 to 100. So what is there anything else, like how else, you know, do you receive a lot of condemnation from the church? We go to a church that's very accepting right now.
Right, yeah, here in Vegas.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, you know, how is this dynamic working right now with going, let's say, to church or fellowship? Do you guys get stared a lot? I know in this church, no.
Right. I mean, to be honest, like, coming out compared to where I'm at now was, like, completely different. Coming out in my home church, where I had been since I was 2 years old, where my mom's a children's minister, was a lot different than coming here and no one knowing me and no one really having to know me to have any access to judge me. In Reno, I went to a church that they would accept other people, but if you wanted to serve or if you wanted to be involved with the people of that church, then it was kind of the thing
straight
to be perfect.
Narrow.
Exactly.
The straight and narrow.
So it was really hard coming out there and kind of being real about everything. But it, at the end of the day, like, I kind of came to terms with myself of knowing, like, I'm either going to stand in who I am or I'm going to continue living my whole entire life being sad and being somebody that I'm not. And so I'd much rather be not liked as who I am than liked as somebody that I'm not. So
that's really
coming
powerful.
Out wasn't that difficult. Like, I mean, it obviously was hard and it was scary and all of these things that you feel. But at the end of the day, the weight that was taken off of me by coming out compared to the weight that was on me by not was significantly different. And at the end of the day, I'm a girl that loves Jesus and I'm a girl that likes girls. Like, and that's really nobody else's business. And if I'm going to have an issue with Jesus, then Jesus is going to have an issue with me. And that's not really anyone else's issue either. So, I feel like a lot of people are looked upon by Christians with hate because you're gay. And I don't think that's what Jesus calls us to do. I think at the end of the day, we're going to face Jesus and Jesus is going to say, well, why did you hate this gay person, and this gay person? Because now they don't know me. And I was calling you to let them know me and you didn't let them know
me.
Wow,
that's so powerful. Oh, I just want to clap. But that's, I was going to tell you, I didn't mean to cut you off, but you told me something when I was driving you and Trisha to the airport that was powerful. Can you say that again? Just a little bit slower and articulate that with feeling.
Okay, so what I think is I'm going to face Jesus one day, and I don't think he's going to look me in my eyes and tell me that how I loved people and how I talked to people and how many people I pointed to him wasn't enough because I liked a girl or because I married a girl or because I pursued a girl. I think that he's going to look at the people that hated us and at the people that hated other gay people, and he's going to ask them, why did you hate them? Like, at the end of the day, he didn't call anybody to hate anybody. So all of these Christians that are hating gay people are doing what they're called not to do and accusing us of sin when they're sinning by hating us. So I don't think that really at the end of the day, God's going to be worried about who was gay and who wasn't gay, but who hated gays and who didn't hate gays.
Powerful.
Like, I so make sure that any person that's gay or transgender, anybody in that community that is around me knows that I love Jesus and knows that I have the light of Jesus in me because they don't see it in other people. They don't see other people that just love them and that would just accept them for where they're at and who they are. And I'm not going to say, oh, I'll love you until you're not gay, or I'll keep loving you until you can decide you want to make the right decision with your life. No, I'm going to love you, period. There's nothing after that. I'm not going to love you when you decide to be anybody that you're not. I'm going to love you right now where you're at. And I think that's what Jesus calls us to do, not to only
judge.
Love them, to make them that way with their life.
That is powerful. We're out of time now, and I know you have an appointment.
Yeah.
I want to say thank you. I was really hesitant on interviewing you just because I was scared that Trisha didn't want her life being public. We're public figures, basically. We do a lot of work in the community. So, well, more so Ron than me. But do you have any last questions for Drea? Because we're at the 22-minute mark right now.
Oh, man. You basically covered all the bases. I would like to say thank you,
Drea,
for coming on the podcast show. And then, man, if you weren't going to come on this one, we sure wanted you to come on one in the future.
Solely based on, because I know you have a story and a platform, and it needs to be heard. There's so much more to your story that you need, you know, that the world needs to hear. And I think you bringing that light to a lot of people would help.
Thanks. Yeah.
Yes, definitely. You'll be a mentor to a lot of youth out here and everywhere else.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, cool.
Awesome. Well, thanks for having me, guys.
All right. Thanks, Drea.
Yeah.
All right, people. There is going to be a part two with Drea, okay? There is so much more to be told about her story. But in the interim, if you want to check out her blog, you can. Take note, you can check out her blog at Rise and Shine Darling. Again, riseandshinedarling.wordpress.com. What a wonderful person. I'm so happy. I want to say a victory story real quick because we're running out of time. But my daughter just got baptized 2 days ago.
Oh, wow.
And she was always afraid. And what Drea did was you just pulled her on. She wanted to do it, but she was hesitant. And what'd you do?
I literally looked at her. I was like, what are you afraid of? And she couldn't answer me. And I was like, okay, then let's go. I grabbed her hand and we ran down the aisle.
Was she hesitant? Was she pulling away?
Nope.
Okay, cool.
That's
a good victory story.
Yeah,
all right.
I like it. Good job.
All right. Well, so that sums up this week's episode of Let Them Know.
MMEO, episode 12.
All right. Cool. Till next time.
Later.
Yo, check out Mystique Entertainment, a global network for your top source for live streaming continuous content, such as music, film, trade shows, lifestyles, wellness, and reality shows. For business inquiries, contact Mystique Entertainment at info@mystiqueentertainment@gmail.com.